Hello and welcome to the Legendary Frogcast. I'm your host, Joseph Blanchette, aka Legendary Frog, and with me is Kevin Brown, aka Raelith.
Hey, hey, how's it going, Internet? This is me, Raelith.
Old kitchen, recording in the kitchen, Raelith.
Yeah, that's how we do things. That's how we let you know it's real. It's that authenticity. It's yep, you need it.
He's a veteran of the podcast, and you know, it's been a year and a half since I did an episode, but what the heck?
Oh, it's easy. Yeah, like, why not? Throw it out. Because we have... Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to talk over you.
Yeah, let's just jump right back into podcasting, because the game of the decade, or the century, came out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Dota Auto Chess.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, okay. So Dota Auto Chess. What strategy do you like to go with? I'm quite partial to you bake your strat into dragons.
Uh-huh.
But really, you can go kind of any way from dragons. You can go from trolls or elves or mages, but you need that three dragon. That's the key.
I've heard of Auto Chess. I actually don't know what it is. It's probably pretty interesting.
It's a Dota 2 mod that basically all the people who used to play Hearthstone but are now playing that because Hearthstone's kind of bad at the moment. But there's this other game that came out.
Yeah, this isn't the Blizzard Sucks Now podcast. You might do one of those in the future.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But Kingdom Hearts 3, it's finally out.
Yeah. It's been a long time. Do you know when the first Kingdom Hearts came out?
I should have had this ready, but I think the first game was 2002.
Yeah, hold on. Let's pull up the old Wikipedia. This is what you want.
Yeah.
Mine's loading. Reloading it up. Kingdom Hearts. Yeah, there we go.
2002.
Then,
sequel came out in 2005, and I thought that was a long wait back in the day.
There's on the Wikipedia page, there's a timeline of Kingdom Hearts releases.
Look at us. We're using it, so it is useful.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So, do you want to do this into, like, two parts, spoilers and non-spoilers, or just should they be prepared for spoilers?
I think people should be prepared for spoilers. The game's been out for a couple weeks. There's really no spoilers until the ending part of the game, though.
I think I'd even say there's not, like, spoilers unless you've played other games.
Yeah.
Like it's weird because to me, Kingdom Hearts 3 more feels like a conclusion to, like, 358 over 2 and Birth by Sleep. Like, those two have, like, a definitive ending. But then, like,
yeah, because Kingdom Hearts 2, Kingdom Hearts 2 kind of already ended. And, like, Dream Drop Distance just kind of, like, prolonged it, saying, oh, no, there's still more, but we're not going to conclude it in this game either.
Drop Distance kind of felt like Kingdom Hearts 3 to me. Did you get that feeling when you were playing it? Like the story-wise and, like, the cutscenes?
Well, kind of. It was like, Dream Drop Distance kind of felt like, I don't know, it's like they're obviously heading towards a conclusion, and then you're presented with all these crazy villainous schemes that have been going on in the background.
Yeah, like it went, all the animes came out, and they're like, yo, check it out, here's what we're, because every Kingdom Hearts game kind of start, like, you start with the Final Fantasy anime, and then you have this extended Disney, like, interlude, and then you end with the Final Fantasy anime.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like almost every Kingdom Hearts game, except maybe 358, kind of follows that same...
Dream Drop and 3 and a little bit 1. Kind of have the thing, have, like, story up front. You have, like, sprinklings of Kingdom Hearts plot in the middle, but then, like, the end is mostly, like, there's no Disney stuff.
Yeah,
go. I mean, like, you know, every single plot video I watch is, like, they don't even mention Disney, besides the fact that like King Mickey and Donald Goofy are like major characters, you know?
Yeah. It's okay. So just to talk about this stuff, did you like Kingdom Hearts 3?
I did like it.
I kind of liked it.
You kind of liked it. How big of a Kingdom Hearts fan are you? Like, how deep are you into
the series? Oh, it's weird because when I look at this list, I've played about half, if not most, of Kingdom Hearts. I've played the first and second games. I played Chain of Memories, beat 358. The only one I never played was Birth by Sleep.
And that's kind of an important one.
I know, and that's kind of one of my complaints of Kingdom Hearts is, like, I never had a PSP, so I never played Birth by Sleep, and the only time I could have was when they did, like, the 2.8 final chapter prologue, and I didn't want to buy Kingdom Hearts, like, 2 and 1 again, because I think and just to play that one. So, like, I mean, I watched videos on it, but
big Kingdom Hearts fan, then a couple years later, totally confused by Kingdom Hearts 2 because I found out there was an entire game in between that I never played.
Yeah.
And I played a little bit of 358, but I thought that game was really boring.
Oh, it is. It's not great. I played it, I think, because 2009. I don't know. What I was doing something at the time where I would play it in between computer work, and I brought it to college, I think, and I'd play it.
Then I never had a PSP, but like I always regretted not playing it. And you know, years later, like past like a Dream Drop Distance, never had a 3DS either. I was like, I need to figure out what the heck this Kingdom Hearts plot is about, because I missed apparently a big chunk of it. So, like, I watched this video by Game Trailers at the time. They have, like, a really good timeline of the series. And I was like, okay, so there's, like, three other Keyblade wielders, and they did a bunch of stuff, and that's where Xehanort came from, and then they entered Dreams, and Axel's back, and now we're just waiting for 3, I guess. But I did catch up on the series on the PS4 when they released those two HD collections.
Yeah, so you you jumped back in at that point, which is...
Yeah, so I played Kingdom Hearts 1. I even though it's kind of a pretty flawed game gameplay wise, I just loved every minute of it because it was nostalgia coming back to me.
Yeah, and you're getting basically the best version of it. You're getting
it's just like, there's something so heartfelt about Kingdom Hearts that no matter how bad or sappy or on the nose it is, like the minute when the credits started rolling, or like in the ending when Sora and Kairi are reaching out for each other and she goes like, I'll never forget you. And she goes, I know you will or won't. And then like Simple and Clean starts playing. I was like, oh my God, I love this series so much.
It's cheesy. And it's lame, and that's why it's good. Like, I will fully admit that, I have problems with Kingdom Hearts. I think if anything, I would say Kingdom Hearts 3 feels like a PlayStation 2 game. Like, it's a really fancy
PlayStation 2 games with really good graphics.
Yeah, like, if you cranked up all the, like if you took Kingdom Hearts 2 and like just cranked up all the fidelity and graphics, then it would be Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah.
Because there are parts of that game where like I feel that even like in cutscene direction, it feels like a PlayStation 2 game, because I can't remember maybe like recently a video game where I'm in like 20 minutes of cutscenes and it's not like the end. It's just like you beat a world and now you're watching like a 20-minute long like cutscene, or 15 to 20 minutes of like talking and going on, and there's no save in between. It's just here you go. You beat the boss, and now we're watching it.
Yeah, and, like, I haven't played all the major games on the HD remaster. It's like the cutscene qualities are one, classic Kingdom Hearts, but two, like better because they're like better paced and all that. They don't have as, even though they have like awkward pauses, the older games had even more of that stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that may be like, I can't know. I just know that the one that stuck out in my brain in Kingdom Hearts 3 was when you're on the gummy ship and you're talking to the silver haired guy who I know he was an Organization 13 guy and he became human, but I have no idea who he was.
Yeah, he was one of the chain of memory guys, but and I forget his name even. And
oh, like I think that's some of my problem. Other than Lee, I know him because he's Axel, and I know Zigbar because he's secretly the super ending.
Yeah,
but like
that little kid Organization member, he was like Ansem the Wise's like protege. Like he was just a kid. Like back when, like all that happened.
But like him and Sora are talking about like replicant bodies for like 10-15 minutes, and I was just like, okay.
I was like, yeah, that was like a like chain of memories was about replicant.
Yeah, and those and show like, up like
to a lesser extent. 358 because Shion was a replicant. And, like, I was surprised about how much of that stuff was in this game. It was, like, the thing that made everything possible in Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah, like, that's why I kind of feel weird about it. Because it feels like the most important games were not Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, but rather 358 over 2 and Birth by Sleep. Like, that is what the sequel, like, those are, it feels like those are Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 that Kingdom Hearts 3 is talking about.
Yeah, I mean, Birth by Sleep is really important because it's kind of the, like, how it all got started. Yeah. And they kind of sprinkled in these characters' importance throughout, like, all the other characters' lives. Like Ventus being in Sora's heart.
And he's the one that kind of shaped Sora. And then that being turned shapes Roxas.
Yeah, and how like Aqua gives Kairi the Keyblade, and then how Terra gives Riku the like Keyblade powers. You know, that's all kind of in the background there.
Did you watch Butterbuns and Klimps's Kingdom Hearts stuff?
Yeah,
yeah. I just wanted to give that shout out because those two
Super
people,
Butterbuns is like one of my favorite. Well, like, actually, those two are some of my favorite YouTube personalities right now.
Oh, they are. Not to get off track, but highly recommend those.
Yeah, like Butterbuns is on the kind of super fangirl level. Klimps is a little bit more
quirky. He's a little feisty boy.
He's a little feisty boy. He's a little bit more like a critical of the stuff. Yeah, like it seems like everyone's putting out Kingdom Hearts retrospective these days. Like King K is another guy. Like he's put out some stuff. But yeah, it's like, actually the reunion of Axel, I guess spoilers at this point. But
yeah,
the,
no, we told them, it's yeah. All, you play the game, we're going to talk about it.
I mean, like the ending battles between like the light and darkness and all the reunions that happen there. Like the reunion of Shion, Roxas and Axel or Lee is kind of the one that got me the most.
Oh, it got me. It got me bad because it was when they all lost it. It's like they were all trying not to cry, and then they just all like fell in a heap, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, like I only played about, like I said, just like half of the DS game, but I watched the movies and all that stuff. And Shion is the most tragic character in the series, if you ask me. And, like, I love the scenes where Axel was just staring at Kairi, even though it's a little bit creepy.
Oh, and, he started crying.
Yeah, she's like, why? What's the matter? And she just started crying, and it's like,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. Just because it reminds me of this character that willingly sacrificed herself and all of her memories of herself so her friends can keep on existing or whatever. And it's like, when she shows herself and Axel goes, Shion, and probably all these memories of this friendship comes rushing back to his head, and he can't do anything but just cry his eyes out. I was like, my God, this series
it's cheesy and lame. Yeah. And that's cheesy and lame, but it got you.
Yeah.
It can get in, like, to me, that's when it's at its strength, is when it's getting me.
I will say, like, I said I like this game, and I do. But I would say I like it because of the last fourth of the game or so, when it gets into the Kingdom Hearts craziness.
Yeah,
like, the game is fine. And, like, I like all the little things they do for the most part. But it's like, this big conclusion stuff that makes it all satisfying for me.
Yeah, and it's... I feel like this game had a weird feeling to me, where I kind of had the same feeling in Final Fantasy 15, where it's a lengthy game, but it felt unfinished. Like there were worlds where I could tell they felt way different, like in the Disney worlds. Like the Pirates of the Caribbean level looks amazing and has this big pirate ship mini game. And then you go to, like, Big Hero 6 world, and all you're doing is, like, jumping around the city, and then you have, like, one boss fight.
Yeah, apparently that was one of the last ones, like one of the last worlds they did.
And it shows.
Yeah, and you have this huge city, and, you know, you do some, like, racing mini games and fight a couple bosses, and then you...
Yeah.
then that's about it. You have to go, like, around some checkpoints around the city and do something. That's about it. And I thought that was kind of a big waste of potential, because like, I did like how it was almost like a sequel to the movie. So they brought back, like, the original Baymax, and how he was just kind of this evil guy in, like, the inner dimension at that point.
See, I liked it. Like, it felt like all the Pixar movies took place after one of the Pixar. Like Monsters, Inc. took place after Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
And it was like, nah, we've done this. Whereas, the Disney ones was the kind of typical, where basically you're playing the abridged story of Frozen and Tangled. Mm-hmm. And Pirates of the Caribbean 3 is already confusing enough without Kingdom Hearts in there.
Then when you take away most of the plot, you're like, yeah. Oh yeah, like the Pirates world, like during that last part, it's like you're watching a CG remake of at World's End.
Yeah, but they skipped the second. Like, I don't know, maybe it's in a game I can't remember, but like, I remember in Kingdom Hearts 2 you did Pirates 1. And then in 3, you do Pirates 3. Was there ever a Pirates 2 world?
Nope.
Because it kind of skips ahead.
I know in Dream Drop, there's a Tron 2 world, but it takes place before Tron in Kingdom Hearts. That's really weird.
Weird. And it like, I think that's the weirdest choice out of all of, like, the things they went to.
Yeah, because I really like Toy Story and... Monsters, Inc., because it felt like they were doing their own thing.
Toy Story is probably my favorite world in the game, because I like the idea that it starts off by you seeing Rex watch effectively, like, the most Tetsu Nomura-looking anime thing ever.
Yeah.
He's like, oh boy, I love it!
I mean, like, on purpose, it reminds you of like Final Fantasy Versus 13, about just how... like, more on that later, I guess, but how that all...
I thought that was really funny. Okay, so I think I said this on my own little podcast, but what did you think about the greatest joke in this entire game, where when you start it up and it does the late title card and it says Kingdom Hearts 2.9?
Yeah, unfortunately I had that kind of ruined for me.
You had that spoiled?
On Twitter, but yeah, because someone posted a picture of it, but...
Oh, that's a shame, because I saw that and I lost it. I just cracked up. I'm like, that is... They know. To me, that's like, oh, we know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in a way, like, that was... I mean, yeah, it's real... It's real cheeky, but, like, that's what... like, at the end of... what was it called?
0.8 Final Prologue or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's how that ended. So, like... I kind of felt they were obligated to, like, that Hercules level. It's like the only classic world that returns, really, except for Pirates, I guess.
It's like, I think, and also, like, I felt like the gameplay was adequate. I think it was too easy. I think the game overall is
really easy. Oh, yeah, it was way too easy.
I played on proud mode, and I didn't have any problems until the final boss.
I played on standard just because, you know, I play everything on standard. And magic is way overpowered. Like, your attractions and special keyblade abilities are way overpowered.
I think they gave you too many. Like, it felt like there's too many things where you press triangle and it ends the fight. Mm-hmm. Like, I would have rather, like, attractions been, like, a substitute for the keyblade moves, or maybe they would have been, like, a final, like, limit break sort of thing, but it just felt like...
I thought there were going to be way more, like, special occasions, but, like... Nearly every battle you can do them, and there's even abilities where they happen more often, you know?
Yeah, and, like, I felt almost every, because in the Hercules world at the beginning, which I sometimes keep forgetting that was a thing, but, like, in Hercules... I
mean, it was in Kingdom Hearts 2.9, so it's hard to...
Okay. Yeah, but in Hercules world, like, you use that as the finisher for the Titan. It's here's the finishing move is the attraction. And I kind of thought that's how it was going to be. Yeah. We're like, here we go. And then you do that and then you're done.
And like same thing happened in the Keyblade graveyard where you summon the train
again. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, and then after that, yeah, it's like, you're always summoning that stupid ship or the little blaster thing.
Yeah. Or the River Rapids, which I think is the best one. That's the one that seemed to do like the most damage was the river rafting. The blaster one, like I never felt like it did enough. It always felt like I was like shooting and not. I would have been better just using my own abilities.
I mean, I defeated some of the organization members and the Ansem clones or the Xehanort clones using teacups. I mean, it's a little bit of a mood breaker.
Yeah, like I never really felt I never felt that combat was strong. And I felt on Xehanort, like when you're fighting him at the very end, it felt kind of like it was expecting more of me, but I had never learned how to actually like counter or block or do anything for the entire game. So it's like, oh yeah. And I was like, well, what's happening?
Birth by Sleep was really big on, especially in the last parts, just learning how to block and dodge.
Yeah. And like, I never needed that because my strategy was just run away until my thunders came up. And then I spent all my thunders and then healed and then ran away. And that's,
oh yeah. And or like
I played 90%
ice or whatever.
Yeah. That's how I played that game. I used the Shooting Star Keyblade because the guns auto-tracked, and that would let me run away even more, and that's kind of how I played.
I like using, the pirate one because it turns into, a spear, and that's kind of unique.
I used the frozen one, too. I liked it because I liked it when Sora gets on like the ice skates and it reminds me he's doing Bayonetta stuff. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
It is cool how you can upgrade your Keyblade. So if you have a favorite using it.
Yeah, like that I appreciate because in the other games it'd be like, oh, well, here's my upgrade and it's a strength one. I guess my magic sucks. So
yeah,
whatever.
I guess I'm using the Nightmare Before Christmas one for the rest of the game because it's the best one.
Yeah, whereas this one's like, nah, you can just pick with what you want. And then And some of them felt like the specials were crossed. Like the Winnie the Pooh one has the same special as Shooting Star. So if you want like a balanced guns, you can use that sort of beat. Like I thought that was all right.
I always like Kingdom Hearts combat because it's just kind of mindless.
Spectacle. There's a lot of spectacle going
on. Yeah. And I do think Kingdom Hearts 2... I don't know, this one, I would say is about the same Kingdom Hearts 2, but, 2 just had more areas where you can just, grind levels and stuff, and Kingdom Hearts 3 doesn't really have that.
Yeah, and it doesn't really need it.
Yeah, that last world where you just have, a bunch of enemies you can just fight.
I also was, and I don't want to be... So, if I had to give a score to this game, I'd give it, a 7 out of 10. Like, and not like video game magazine 7 out of 10 where that's bad. Like, I'd give it like, nah, it's good with flaws. Like, that's what I would give this game. But like, I liked it in 2 where a lot of the triangle commands were like enemy and boss specific. And in this one, it didn't seem like when you're fighting the regular Dusk, and if you hit triangle in 2, you do like a cool dodge behind them in attack. Whereas in this one, it was more like I hit triangle to either summon, do a big team attack or a big spell or an attraction. And yeah, I did like the
team attacks where like Goofy would like fly up in the air and you throw him down and does like an AOE thing. I did like those because they were over real quick and a little situational.
And I did like the idea. I mean, I don't know if they changed it, but I liked that you always had Donald and Goofy with you, because I remember in Kingdom Hearts 2, I would always basically never use whoever was actually in the world because of the forms. I would always want to have Donald and Goofy to turn into the form, so I would never use like whoever. And in this one, it's like, nah, they're just there too, so it's cool.
Now, was I missing something, or could you cycle between the triangle commands?
I never figured out how to do that.
Yeah, like, I don't think you can, but then I thought I heard someone say you could. But like,
I could imagine there being some command to do that. I would always just mash through it.
It's like, ooh, there's a thuns, like a thunzilla or whatever.
Yeah,
that will wipe out all these things. Oh, but there's a teacups and a tangled tower.
I don't want to waste my finishing move. I just want to cast like big fire and then finish. I don't, because sometimes I'd be like, I don't want to do my form's finishing move. I want to like do the spell and then use that.
I kind of wish there was a way to just disable attractions, except for like when they're important to the the fight,
a boss fight. Like, yo, you need to do this to win.
Yeah.
I just like and this is also kind of, this is just a personal pet peeve of Kingdom Hearts, where I really wanted at least one square world. Like, I understand that it's
one
probably
square character.
Oh, with this one, I really wanted either a Nier or a Nier Automata world, because they are explicitly talking about replica bodies and putting a soul inside of it, which is the entire plot of both Nier and like Nier to like Automata. It's all about like, we need a vessel for a soul. And I was like, oh man, that would have been so cool. And then, because that would have been directly like, you get to see like, oh, is the soul by itself or that kind of thing. I think that could have thematically fit very nicely.
They could probably like kidify like Nier Automata to the point where, you know, it's okay to have the Kingdom Hearts game.
You could have done like the first one, and then you would have taken out basically Kaye, who swears. But if you would have like Emil, who's just kind of like a robot skeleton, and then you would have been journeying around with him, and like I could, you could get away with like less of the adult art stuff. It could have worked. I could have seen that.
Did you see like the secret movie?
Is that the very ending with the box?
No, the one that like you would have to like unlock.
Oh, the 100% one?
Yeah.
I have not seen it. You can spoil it for me. I'll watch it after this.
So like, I think the next game may be some Square Worlds, because the ending movie is Sora awakening in basically the real world, Tokyo, right?
Oh, like, so it's the Final Fantasy Lightning Returns ending.
Well, yeah, so like you see that, like there's like buildings and streetlights and all that stuff, but then it zooms in and then you see the and I forget the name of the district, but you see the world ends with you. Shibuya?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like he's in the world ends with you world. And then Riku, at the same time, wakes up and he sees this building that's kind of a famous landmark in Tokyo. But it was also the basis of the palace in Final Fantasy Versus 13. And but also seen in that what's it called, a Fantas Rex fake thing.
So maybe so
he sees that, and there's a guy sitting on top of the building, and it's Yosora from that fake game. So he's in the world of Vantus Rex or whatever.
Oh,
it's called.
That's cool.
Yeah, and people are thinking, it's like, well, maybe just maybe they're like gonna move away from this, like Disney worlds, and maybe they're gonna focus on like original and like Square worlds.
I could see them doing something where it's called Vantus Rex, and it's basically Square Kingdom Hearts, and this is like. We're going with all of our own properties and stuff.
Well, and like during the ending when they zoom in on you, it plays the Final Fantasy Versus 13 like main theme.
Oh,
so like people are saying this is kind of his way of like not like, getting back at Square, but it's like I'm going to make the Final Fantasy Versus 13 game that you guys took away from me, because if you look at all the characters they're parallels to like Ingus and
Noctis. Yeah, they that felt like a Final Fantasy.
Yeah. And I guess the next game is going to be about Sora trying to find Kairi, who was the most disappointing thing in the game.
I would agree. Like they explicitly, through both weird fake Instagram, Twitter, and also, like, cutscenes, we're talking about how Kairi was training, and she was gonna step up, and she's gonna fight, and then she says, Sora, you don't need to take care of me, and then we hard cut to Xehanort just blowing her up instantly.
Yeah, like in the previous games, I didn't take much note about Kairi basically being, like, a damsel in distress, basically, because we were just kind of used to that, I guess, in storytelling.
It was more about, like, all the princesses got stolen. And she was like the further one. I'm like, okay, I get it.
Like she was like a driving force for Sora, and it wasn't until recently, especially with like Buttermuns saying like, yeah, Kairi doesn't do anything in these games, and I'm like, you're right, she doesn't do anything. Why? And then like, yeah, throughout the entire thing, Lee, I guess he wants to be called Axel or whatever, but Axel and Kairi are like saying like, wow, that was a hard day of training. Do you want to meet in the arena tomorrow and we'll train some more with our Keyblades? They're like, yeah, this training's great and we can be here forever because time doesn't move or blah, 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 blah. And like, I thought we would have like in-between sections where you would be Kairi or maybe Axel, like, just like...
doing something?
Yeah.
Like with Riku, like how he had that... Like, you have that Riku section where he's fighting, like, the big monster. You'd see, like, their section. We're like, here, between two worlds, here's what they're doing.
Yeah, and just, even if it's just things like the Olympus Coliseum stuff, where you just have to fight off some hordes of bad guys or, hit some barrels or whatever. Like, I just wanted to see Kairi do something. And, like, you literally see her swing a Keyblade a couple times in cutscenes. Like that's all you see of her,
and she kind of gets exploded. It's like, and this is just, and maybe I'm misremembering, but like, and this is my controversial Kingdom Hearts opinion. I think Sora kind of sucks. Like, I like Roxas. I like Ventus. I like Donald and Goofy, and I like. Who am I thinking? Oh, Riku. I like Riku a lot, but like Sora just kind of sucks. And I've never really liked Sora. I've always thought he's kind of lame.
I don't know.
I mean,
he's kind of a blank slate, and kind of the, since he's like such a good person, it makes a good, like, I don't know, audience stand in of, you know.
He's the innocent child, basically. Yeah. And I kind of liked in some parts that's his greatest flaw, is that he can't really deal with... I thought that was the most interesting thing of Dream Drop Distance, was that Sora failed the mastery exam because he was just kind of too cheerful and innocent and he couldn't deal with it. Whereas, like, Riku's like, nah, I know what's going on. I can handle it.
Yeah, like, I was thinking about this, like... Like, let's say in some alternate universe, Kingdom Hearts 3 came out like around the time A Dream Drop Distance did, and it didn't exist. Could they kind of mix those two plots together? Like, not like don't have any of like the Dream Eater or like Dream World stuff, and just put the revelation that Xehanort's time traveling, and Sora isn't strong enough to defeat him. Like, could they kind of? Could that have been Kingdom Hearts 3?
Yes, I do. I think it. Like, I think basically the Keyblade. So, like, a lot of the stuff gets wrapped up in the Keyblade Graveyard. I think the Keyblade Graveyard, the final world, and I don't remember, but fake Greece, that fake Grecian town.
Yeah.
Like, you could have put those at the end of Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance and kind of reworked it a bit, maybe just had one character, and I think it would have, the game would have been the same. Like, it's like this game feels like it's kind of like we have you have Twilight Town and the last kind of worlds, and then everything else kind of felt like filler.
Yeah, because like in a Dream Drop, I liked all the revelation. I mean, like, I don't love the revelation really that the organization in Kingdom Hearts 2 is kind of a lie. But yeah,
I really liked the idea. I like the idea that Sora's kind of lighthearted, cheery immaturity was why he couldn't progress or whatever.
Yeah, like that might have been like a good like midpoint of the game where they're preparing to, you know, face Xehanort and the other darknesses. And like Sora messes it up, like he almost gets taken over.
And then you gotta play as Riku for like the last half of the game. Like your skills transfer over, so you're not like lower, but like, oh, now it's Riku's turn, and then he has to wake Sora up. I think that would have been
definitely ways to do it. I'm not saying it would have been better, or whatever, but it just seems like so much of kind of the plot for Kingdom Hearts 3 kind of started in Dream Drop Distance. And not everyone would have played that necessarily, you know.
Yeah, and that's to me that's the game's biggest flaw. And I know some like random people have been on Twitter been like, "Well, you could have watched all the movies," and I'm like, "Yeah, I know. I could have watched the movie plot synopsis, but it's still not the same as playing the game." And it's kind of like, if you want to get this story, at the bare minimum, you need a PlayStation 4 by the collection of basically you need a PS4, the 2.8 collection. Then you need to also get a 3DS and Dream Drop Distance, and you need to play the mobile game.
Well, no, like a Dream Drop Distance is on that HD collection. That's how I played it.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
It's on that, like, okay. Well, so you need that collection. And then you need that mobile game. Because that mobile game, apparently, that's when you did that big section where you're surfing on the keyboard. Yeah, the Keyblade. And you're surfing on the keyboard. And then you were shooting all, like, the names of all the other Keyblade people that were in the mobile game, which is how Nier ended.
Yeah, I thought that was a really cool thing. Because, like, I've learned there was, like, a contest in the mobile game. Where people didn't know what it was for, but like they selected like 150 people or whatever.
And, oh, that's cool.
And like so the people, like when you were summoning the Keyblade wielders, those were real players of Union Cross.
And that's cool, but it's also to the like on the one hand it's super cool, but on the other hand, like I kind of didn't know what was going on at that.
Yeah, it's like who's this? Like, who's this guy who looks like the kid from Bastion? He just shows up saying, hey, yeah.
And then why am I shooting all these attacks with, like, names like Paul? Like, Greg.
Yeah, because, like...
Thanks, Greg.
Even if you watched that, because, like, that 2.8 collection came with, like, a movie.
Yeah, the movie that summed up the mobile game with those mask guys.
Yeah, but it kind of didn't really... It did a little bit. It mostly set up like the Master of Masters, the box, and all the all the masters and all that, and like Lushu and all that. But the actual like Keyblade War and those characters, I had to watch another video about them because like they didn't go in much detail about that. So, like, even if you watch that, you may not even realize that the Keyblade Graveyard was the result of, you know, those characters doing battle with each other.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of... And it's like... It's like I'm looking at it, and I was like, okay.
It got me, because for me it was like, these are real people. All of us helped Sora.
See, I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah, so, like, so I was like, me, man, it's like, it's the players of moment, Kingdom Hearts like, are oh. now, yeah, the players of Kingdom Hearts, even if it's not literally you and, you know, your name, are helping Sora defeat the darkness. He's falling into darkness and he needs our help. And all he needs is your credit card number. And,
you know. Yeah, hey kids, get free Fortnite V-Bucks to save Sora.
Yeah, but so I was like, oh, that's just really cool because, you know, it's just kind of a way of saying, oh, the players are what kept Kingdom Hearts going, and we keep it in our hearts. And it was nice symbolically that the players helped Sora in his time of need, and it actually made sense within the context of everything, you know?
Alright, so maybe this is just me being an old man, and all I gotta ask is there any point in Kingdom Hearts where they explain what the darkness is, other than, like, it's the bad feelings you get sometimes?
Yeah, they're kind of vague with that. Like, at the end of this game, when we learn about Xehanort's plan to bathe the world in darkness so light can reemerge, it kind of made it feel like darkness was the primal state of things.
It reminded me of Dark Souls. I know that's like the token, all piece they're comparing, but like, when he was going on that speech about the world and darkness and the cycle begin, I'm like, wait, this is just Dark Souls. Like, that's literally Dark Souls. Is Kingdom Hearts truly Dark Souls?
What do you think about the, like, Xehanort's plan of restarting the world, and, like, he's going to be, like, the emperor of everyone who knows how to do things right? And that was his goal.
I think that was okay. What I didn't like was that he basically said, "Aw, you got me," and then just handed over the Keyblade, and then he got touched on the shoulder. He said, "You did well, old friend," and then he, like, turned into an angel and went to heaven. I was like, he's killed people! He killed Kairi, like, 3 seconds ago.
Yeah, like, I didn't quite get... You know, like, you never played Birth by Sleep, right?
No.
Yeah, so, like, in that game...
He's evil.
Yeah, in that game, he's just straight out evil. And, like, he basically tricks Terra to, like, give into the darkness so he could have, like, a vessel for himself. That's what...
And, like they kind of just forgive him and just let him go. Mm. And if not let him go, he just turned... Like, it still bothers me that they basically... Like, the Keyblade Master, the teacher from Birth by Sleep, like, touches him on the shoulder and says, "All right, old friend, let's go." And then he just ascends without, like, he didn't sacrifice himself. Like, it wasn't like a Darth Vader where he became good at the end. His thing is that, well, all my cruelty got the Keyblade. Here you go, Sora. I guess my work here is done. I'm good guy, right? It's like, no!
Yeah, maybe I need to rewatch those videos after, like, because, like, you're all caught up in the moment of it all, like, watching it. You're like, oh.
I was upset. But what I wasn't upset was I thought it was really cool that Terra was apparently Ansem's, like, ghost stand. Like, that was Terra all along. That's cool. I was like, oh, that's cool when he, like, ripped off the mask.
And oh, yeah, like, when he...
make it right. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, like, when he came and saved everyone in that cutscene, I was like, wait, what's going on here? Isn't that the Guardian from Ansem Secret Darkness?
Yeah.
It's like, what's going on? And then, like, kind of started to click for me right before he took off his bandage or his whatever. It's like... Oh, is that No, it can't be. And apparently that was a fan theory that was going like around for a while.
I thought that was one of my coolest moments of the game, where it's like, oh, that's like that's neat.
Yeah,
because that was always a cool design.
And like I believe Purple Sleep's a little weird because like you kind of have to kind of earn the ending of the game by doing it like on hard mode and all that stuff and finding reports and all that.
Yeah.
But like one of the last battles of Birth by Sleep is Aqua fighting Terra Xehanort. And I think he has like the Guardian at that point. And that would make sense because that's he just took over Terra, so like he would be there. And yeah, that was a cool moment.
All right. I'm also just Kingdom Hearts thoughts just going through my brain. And this is a thing that I felt like replaying it and watching it. Do you feel bad for the Heartless?
I just see them as kind of just mindless things. So no, not really.
Like, cause to me, like there's a couple moments in this game where I felt really bad for them and in ways that I usually don't, where it's like, yeah, they're a monster, but I didn't like hate them. Like Xehanort was an evil man who's doing evil things for a reason, but like the Heartless didn't feel like they knew where they were or what they were doing, and I kind of felt bad for them.
It kind of made the most sense in the first game because Ansem was active, like destroying worlds and turning them into Heartless.
Like, I think it was the one where like the tornado of Heartless appear and the other ones try to run away, and I was like, huh.
Well, that's the tornado, you mean like the Titan?
No, at the very end when you're in the Keyblade graveyard and the
big, oh, right, yeah.
There's like a they all kind of merge into a tornado and a lot of the lesser Heartlesses are just trying to run away. And I was like, I don't know, maybe that's just me reading too much into it, but I felt kind of bad. Like I felt bad for those things because they didn't seem threatening. I don't know, maybe it's also because it's like a E kind of all ages rated game, so your monsters can't be that like menacing, that maybe my brain's like, they're kind of cute, so I don't really hate them.
Yeah, the little Heartless always remind me of like little cartoon grasshoppers, you know,
or like what a Final Fantasy Black Mage looks like when it's not wearing a cloak. Yeah. And hat. It's like it's just naked and afraid. I'm like, oh, I've been there.
Yeah, I never really gave it that much thought about feeling sorry for the Heartless, but
yeah, that's kind of it struck me this game where I was just like,
So here's some things that did not get resolved in Kingdom Hearts 3. The black box.
Yeah, that's clearly sequel bait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That disappointed me, but I kind of loved the epilogue where Zigbar reveals himself to be...
Yeah, it was me all along.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that, because, yeah. I also kind of liked Maleficent and Pete just not caring about what this game is. Like, we don't care.
Yeah.
They're like, but what? It's like, what are you trying to do? And they're like, literally, we don't care. Do whatever. And leaving.
I also... Well, there also was the plot with... character we didn't know about, that Lee and Syax, or Thea, I guess he was when he was human.
Yeah, the girl.
Yeah, there was this girl that was in the castle in Radiant Garden that Ansel was doing experiments on, like a creep. And that was like the entire reason that they got turned into nobodies, because they're trying to save this girl. And there's some hints about who it was. Like, it's probably a character from Union Cross.
Yeah, I think there's one they said was missing.
If yeah, like...
serves. Like, there's one missing. They're like, what happened to blah?
Yeah, some here. People think it's the other Keyblade foreteller, Ava. Some people think it's one of the other girl characters from Union Cross. Some people think it's that star that you talked to in the final world.
That's what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I felt like that thing, that That was either Xion or her.
Well, like, you talked to Nominate too. Did you get that cutscene? Like, one of the stars is just randomly Nominate. And a lot of people apparently never found it because it's just a random star.
Yeah, I found that one.
Yeah.
Minor tangent. Were you upset that the final world was not called the Final Fantasy?
Final Fantasy.
Because I thought that would have been real cool if it would have just said the Final Fantasy and you heard like that Final Fantasy, this little theme in the background. I thought like, oh, that would have, because to me that would have made up for not having like a Final Fantasy world. Nah, this is what that is. It's like both the ending and the beginning of everything. It's like, oh, that'd be kind of cool thematically.
Yeah, so there's the girl that was in the dungeon. But, like, I think the idea of... I'm kind of not disappointed that the box wasn't a plot point, knowing that there's going to be another game. And so they can really focus on some of the stuff. And, like, how the Foretellers are going to be new villains and all that.
Yeah. Do you want them to go back with Disney? Or, like we said, do you think they should just... say issue Disney do original and their own stuff?
I'm kind of indifferent to the Disney stuff, but I wouldn't be sad if it was gone. Like, you know, if this game didn't have Disney, I thought it would be really weird, but it seems like a closing of the door in a lot of ways to the series up to this point. So if they, you know, if they had, like, a Mickey and Donald and Goofy as, like, cameos, I mean, that'd be fine. But, like, I feel like they need to not start over. They need to do something new now. They need to maybe mix up the combat, mix up the game stuff, go to different worlds, have it maybe change tone a little bit, you know?
So, my feeling is that if they are going to go back to Disney... I want to see the more, like, lesser known or just different thing. Like, I don't want to be the classic, basically G-rated Disney musical, kind of family musicals, which is kind of what we were getting. Like, I want, because of Disney stuff, I know, like, the obvious is, like, where's my Marvel superhero world or where's my Star Wars world, you know? Like, even that would be okay. But what I really want... and this is half stupid, half for real, is because Disney now owns Fox, I want King of the Hill world.
King of the Hill.
I want like something like that where you'd be like, whoa, that's nuts.
Planet of the Apes.
Or, yeah, like give me Gargoyle world. I want gargoyles as a world and Sora and them, they look like the and then
I just want the gargoyles to be back, period.
Well, this is how you plant the seed. But like I want like a Darkwing Duck or a DuckTales. I think Gravity Falls would be a really cool Kingdom Hearts world. Like give me some of like the anime, like the non-movies. If you're going to go Disney again, then I want to see like the other stuff. Like, so it's like, because that's what I think, like, I would be hit harder by a level where it begins when you're on top of the castle and it's a thunderstorm and Goliath breaks out. That would cause me to lose my mind rather than seeing, like, Olaf and Frozen. And if they do Disney, so that's what I want to see. I also kind of want a Goof Troop / Goofy movie world where... Kingdom Hearts Goofy has an existential crisis seeing movie Goofy that has a son and a family and doesn't know how to react. I think that'd be incredible. It's like, oh Lord, I'm not your dad, Maxie.
He's like best friends with Pete.
Mm-hmm. like wow, and then everyone's like, wow, that's weird.
And yeah,
I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, like if they do Disney stuff. That's fine. I really want them to do something that will surprise us, you know?
Yeah, I think that's the long and short of it, is that the standard Kingdom Hearts, where we're expecting basically mostly theatrical mainstream Disney animated films with a couple of like anime, like original story at the beginning of the end. I want different. Like, give me.
I would love to have a plot from beginning to middle to end and not have, you know, like the Disney World mini movies, you know?
Yeah. Or if it's there, I want it to really like be, this is, there's something specific why we chose here. And that it should like, if we went to Toy Story World, it should have really mattered. Like the plot would not have, like, make your plot in such a way where going to Toy Story World was essential.
Like, I did like in 3 how the villains kind of had a reason to be there, because there's kind of almost everything was about putting hearts into like empty bodies or
a vessel
or surviving without hearts, or if like data can be turned into hearts and all that. So at least they had that, you know, it wasn't just
like they were getting there, but yeah. Like with the sequel, I want that expanded kind of upon, where it's just like, okay, I want more moments where you have Woody telling like Ansem, heartless, that no one ever loved you, go away.
Yeah, like, I was actually kind of had some hope that, like, because like the Toy Story World is like, oh wow, they're really kind of Kingdom Heartsing this Disney World up. Like, there's a lot of weird stuff going here. Like the Toy Story characters are kind of interacting with the villains in like meaningful ways. But that was like the only world that kind of did that.
Monsters Inc. kinda.
Yeah.
Like I liked Sully grabbing Vanitas and shoving him through a door and then just like go away. I like that. But like in some of the other stuff, it was just kind of not. It felt like they had that idea, but due to time or budget, they just kind of stopped.
Mm. I was kind of like in the Frozen world. I was like, "Wow, they're just playing Let It Go in the background." And then, like, I liked how Sora was like, "Who's that singing?" And like, I wish they would have like broke the fourth wall a little bit more. Yeah.
How they had 2 Frozen songs, like, just in its entirety.
Yeah. Oh, and one bad part is during How to Build a Snowman, or Do You Want to Build a Snowman, how Anna was talking over her own song and couldn't understand anything.
Yeah. That also had my favorite character in the game, which is Big Snowman Monster from Frozen.
Oh, Marshmallow, yeah.
Yeah, he's my favorite because he did what he had to do. And he valiantly sacrificed himself. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I like. That's what tugs at my heartstrings. Also, whenever a wolf turns into a meteor and then your snowman monster has to like use all his strength to hold it up, I'm like, I don't care. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's what I want Kingdom Hearts to be.
Yeah, even though those worlds like follow the movies to like an annoying degree, at least especially Frozen kind of did its own unique thing for parts of it.
Yeah, and it's like, and I kind of liked, it's stuff like Entangled, where I wanted more of the stuff where it was like the mother got defeated, and then out of her like despair corpse is what the boss was made from. I thought that was neat. Like, yeah. I wanted more of that. Where it's more like, here we're using this movie's thing to either empower us or to harm you, instead of just kind of like just kind of dealing with it.
Yeah, so like I was saying, not a perfect game. There's lots of flaws. If it wasn't for my connection, my like emotional connection to what they did during the ending, I probably would rate it lower than, you know, what I would, which is kind of like you. Like, mine's more of an 8, but
because I'm like a 7. It's like I complain about it a lot, but still it's a 7. And I would still say, if you've played Kingdom Hearts, even just 1 and 2, you gotta finish it. Like, you can't like wrap it up. It is, you will be something in there, well, you'll be like, all right, that's good.
We didn't even mention stuff like the gummy ship.
Yeah, the gummy ship was okay.
Which I didn't put much effort into, but at least, you know, they made something that was more than just... Well, the first game was awful. The second game was kind of fun. This one
I basically bought the Highwind up, the highest ranked Highwind blueprint, and that was my gummy ship.
Mm-hmm. I do hope in the next game you get to play as Riku, kind of like you do in Dream Drop. Maybe even Kairi, like if you rescue her early enough.
I think it would be cool if you played as Kairi. I think like if the next thing she's the main character.
Oh, like you're playing as Kairi and you have to sit in like Sora and Riku get lost in these worlds.
Yeah, or you're it's like in Reboot, like how Enzo came back all tough and cool. Like we get like Kairi's being lost, and then we play as like kind of an adult Kairi who's cool and super competent. I think that would be really interesting, and the whole thing would be like kind of the contrast of like where she was and where she is now. And I think that'd be interesting. That'd be neat. I would like to see it.
That's too good of an idea to ever happen.
Yeah. Well, then they can steal my Goof Troop level. that's bad enough for them.
Yeah, I would love a game where you're Kairi trying to come back from the dead. And
it could be interesting.
And then saving Riku and Sora because they're too incompetent to do anything. And they get captured in a World Ends With You world.
Yeah, or just they hit a Final Fantasy that they weren't prepared for. Like, Sora got stuck in Midgar. It's just like, nah, you couldn't deal with it. Like, yo, Sora can handle Frozen. He can't handle Midgar. I think
in the games, like, the Final Fantasy characters are from Radiant Garden.
Yeah, they're like their own little place.
Do you think they'll do, like... I mean, Cloud's there. Do you think they'll do, like, Final Fantasy VII world?
If there is going to be a Kingdom Hearts... So the cynical part of me would say, of course, because all the assets are being made for the Final Fantasy VII remake, so you can just reuse them.
Oh, yeah. Like what if, like, the Final Fantasy VII world is, like, you know, the Advent Children realistic Cloud?
And, what if Final Fantasy VII remake turns out to be Kingdom Hearts 4. Like, you know how Final Fantasy Versus 13 turned into 15? So you see Final Fantasy 7, and then, like, the Roman numerals rearrange. It says Kingdom Hearts 4.
Yeah.
I can see it.
I do think there's a good chance that the next game will have, like, Final Fantasy worlds. And 7, and 7 and 10 are kind of, like, the ones I would put the most money on.
I would also like to see some of Square's other stuff. Like they have some cool stuff. I've always wanted, ever since I played it, like a Deus Ex world. Like they own it. They have the rights to Deus Ex. I want to see Adam Jensen teaming up with like Riku.
Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider's
Lara Croft.
Oh, that works with our theoretical Kairi game, because Kairi and Laura have to, like...
Yeah, because Kairi doesn't know that girls can be powerful.
Yeah, so Kairi has to fall and get impaled with rebar, and then use a fire spell to cauterize the wound.
You know, that sounds neat and all, but, like, does Square literally own, like, Tomb Raider?
Yes.
You know that, or are they just a publisher?
I think they own the IP rights because they merged with the studio. So
yeah, because like Crystal Dynamics doesn't own Tomb Raider. They're just the one that are making the games.
Yeah, right? I think they own it. Like business fraud. Because I know when the Hitman people left, they also took the rights to the Hitman. Like,
yeah.
Like, so because theoretically Hitman World could have been. But not anymore. Not anymore. It's not. They'd have to do the deal. But like, I think they
like
own
the new
the
Tomb Raider is like super mature and stuff. But like, I think you can kind of go back to older Tomb Raider and have it more like an adventure thing.
I mean, you could even make it more like an Indiana Jones like adventure. Like you can PG Tomb Raider kind of easily. Like, you make them more about, just make all the things monster, like a heartless relic, and then there you go.
I just like the idea of, like, Kairi and Lara are in trouble, and Kairi is like, don't worry, Zora will save us. And Lara's like, what? No, we'll save ourselves.
Yeah.
Who knows? Like, well, here's the question, though. Do you think this will be, like, DLC? Will it be a sequel? Will it be Kingdom Hearts 4? Or will it be, like, a spin-off game on the Switch? Like, and will we
it
see
could it be a spin-off game on the Switch.
Yeah, and will we see it within the next, like, 5 years?
Yeah. Oh, no. I think Kingdom Hearts 4 might not. I know there was talk about Kingdom Hearts in some regard on the Switch. I could see them pulling, like, a Verum Rex or something and putting that on the Switch or making that your thing. I know, I think Kingdom Hearts 3 sold well. I'm not sure. I think it did well.
I didn't look at numbers yet.
Yeah, I haven't looked. I just
might not know until, like, the end of the month.
Yeah, but, like, I think it does. Oh, man.
Yeah, like, I'm just wondering what the next game will be. Like, will it be a number? Or are they all done with numbers? Will it just be, like, Kingdom Hearts, Verum Rex? Or will it be, like, a full-blown Unreal Engine sequel on the PS4? Or will it be a more modest game, like, on the Switch? Because there's no more handhelds.
Yeah, I mean, there's just... I think everyone wants to have something on the Switch. I could imagine them putting... And this is... either as Kingdom Hearts or as, like, it's kind of crossover. This, the gameplay of it, I could see working well on the Switch. Because it's already, like, Dream Drops was fine. I would think that it would do, they would put it on the Switch.
Hmm. Well, whatever they do, I'm there for it.
Yeah, I mean, no, I will.
I thought it would be like, finally, they put Kingdom Hearts to bed, but now I'm, like, even more excited about the possibilities of what it could be.
Well, I think it's kind of like, I feel like we've hit a point where now you can, like, jump back in again, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we've hit a point where you've, Kingdom Hearts 3, Xehanort, Heartless, that mostly done. So, like, if you don't know who Ventus is, that's okay right now. Like, if they made a new game. I think it'd be a good time to do that old sequel reboot, that old C-boot. I think that's kind of where I would like to see Kingdom Hearts go. Starring Kairi. It has to be starring Kairi. That's key.
Yeah.
Or and this is just me just spitballing.
Well, here's one thing about, like, the ending movie. Kairi was back, right?
I think so. Like, in that ending,
yeah,
it was her looking and Sora was gone. I assume that Sora sacrificed himself to bring her back.
Yeah, somehow.
Yeah, so it would make sense that she's going to go get him.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me, too. And, like, Riku's there, too.
Yeah. I would... Or what we could do is, like, and this is just me just talking, just ideas... It's just like, is like you play the Kingdom Hearts 4 and you're this cool girl character, and then at the reveal, it's like, no, you're a Kairi all along. Like, oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's about all I got to say about Kingdom Hearts.
Yep. Yeah, I liked it a lot. I would say I'm slightly disappointed about, like, the game leading up to the ending. But even though it was, I still enjoyed it. I wish there was a little bit more, but that last part of the game where they wrap everything up was just everything I wanted it to be. So
I think it's Kingdom Hearts' greatest strength. And in this game, it's kind of like it's double-edged sword. Its greatest weakness is your attachment to what it's showing you. So when Kingdom Hearts was showing me stuff about Kingdom Hearts, I had emotional, like, resonance and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're showing me things about Pirates of the Caribbean 3, I'm kind of like, okay. Like, the nostalgia isn't as much there as it was for Toy Story. Like Toy Story, and hearing like Rex and Ham are the sound alikes to Woody and Buzz, like it's close enough where I was like, I was in there. But then when I saw a world where it, maybe I hadn't seen the movie or didn't really care for it, then it kind of loses it for a bit. I think that's my problem with this game. Still good though.
Yes. All right. So you have your own podcast. Where can we find that?
It's right now on YouTube. Just search. It's youtube.com/Raylith. You can find I put all that stuff in my Twitter bio. If you go to twitter.com/Raylith, that's where I'm at. Follow me. It's in my description. My comics I draw, things I do.
Yeah, I listened to one of your podcasts about Resident Evil. It was a nice little chat about that series.
Yeah, it's bad audio quality, so it's like you're hanging out with me in my terrible kitchen.
Yep.
Which could be the name of the podcast.
Yeah, terrible kitchen. What's it called? It's called...
That's a thing.
That's a thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And you find me at Twitter at Joseph_LFrog on Twitter. Or is there an underscore? I don't know. Yes, there is.
They will know.
And then Patreon / Legendary Frog if you want Patreon. And thank you, Raylith. And may your key be your guiding light. Isn't that the phrase?
I don't know. It always felt like they were saying it wrong. I think it was may your light be your guiding key something. Or heart be your guiding... Yo, it was may your heart be your guiding key. And I thought it was supposed to be may your heart be your guiding light.
May your key be your keying
your darkness. Kingdom heart.
Kingdom heart. I am not Leonard Nimoy. I am
No, I am not.
All right. Thanks a lot for being here. And thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.